You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Follow me on Twitter at @BryanWood. What's going on, Ryan?
Oh, man, I'm juiced up now. You gave me Chris Cornell and the trumpets back-to-back. Let's go.
Let's go. Fired up. Let's see what we got. What do you read into Randy Ramsey being let go today by the Green Bay Packers? Obviously, he's had his injuries, but what does that say about the depth at that position that they were willing to move on from Ramsey this early in camp?
Well, I think it says more about the ankle. You know, he missed a whole year last year with the ankle, and then he gets it re-aggravated. It just seems like that ankle's not cooperating. And they've got till tomorrow at 3 o'clock to dwindle their roster by five players, getting down to 85. They're going to start with guys that can't stay healthy. You know, guys down the depth chart that can't stay healthy. That's going to be your first five cuts. So Randy Ramsey is one of them. And it's a shame for Randy Ramsey, because before that broken ankle last season, He was coming on as a player. I mean, he had a really good special teams year as a rookie. He was starting to get some reps in the outside linebacker rotation. He looked like a guy who was emerging, and just it's the brutality of the game of football. It's tough to see for him, but for the Packers, it's just, you know, it's one of the first five cuts, and it's a guy that wasn't able to stay healthy.
Woody, I got a couple things actually, but let me just start with this.
Oh, boy.
We were talking about Jordan Love earlier today, and as I was watching Jordan Love's press conference, I think I may be watching it on Facebook somewhere, but I was watching all the comments come in and said that Matt LaFleur would never criticize Jordan Love, and he threw three interceptions, and Matt LaFleur's taken up for Jordan Love, and because they drafted, they need for him to work out. And it just feel like there's a lot of negativism for me surrounding Jordan Love, no matter what he does.
Okay. We're hitting a subject that I'm a little touchy on, because I watched Friday night in a state of daze and confusion. What the hell Packers fans were actually watching? Like, how can you see Jordan Love and say, oh, he threw three picks? The first ball was a perfect pass to his tight end, who, if it didn't hit him in two hands, would have hit him in the helmet. Tyler Davis is a professional tight end. He has to catch the ball, and he knows that. The ball to Romeo Doubs hit him in the hands. He put it where the corner couldn't get it, where only his receiver could get it. It was in his hands, and a professional receiver let a corner wrestled the ball away from him on the way to the ground. That's not a Jordan Love interception. The one that you can put on him, and even if it's just partial, because Amari Rodgers has got to, against too high safety, he's got to break that route in front of the DB. He's got to cross the face. You can't go behind. With that said, it's partially on Jordan Love, and Matt LaFleur said it yesterday. The ball didn't need to be thrown there. There's a difference between having an incompletion and interception. One of the things for Jordan Love as a young quarterback, and all young quarterbacks have to learn this, is that you want to make a play, but sometimes making the play means you live to fight another day. You live to for another snap, and you just punt the ball away, and that's not a bad play. But even still, there's no reason why Amari Rodgers doesn't cross the face there. So if you look at the three interceptions, two and a half of them were not on him. That third one, half of it, half that play is on him. Don't look at the box score with him. He had a. I gave him a B. I gave him a solid B for his preseason debut. You look at the box score. It's the lowest passer rating that he's had in three preseason starts. I thought it was the best he's played in the preseason to date. He was much better than last year. He wasn't deer in the headlights like he was in his first NFL start against all that pressure from Steve Spagnuolo. He actually could see the field. He looked confident, poised. He made plays off schedule and got out of the pocket. He was able to fire it in a way that we have never seen Jordan Love just stand there and rip the football. This was a markedly better Jordan Love than we've ever seen before. I don't know if it'll continue. I don't know if it's a one-off. He has to build on it. He can't stop here. But I have no idea how you can watch Friday night Jordan Love and say, the kid's terrible. He showed no improvement. He's not growing. He's not developing. Because that's exactly what it was. He's developed significantly from last year.
No, okay. I agree with you. Now, David Bakhtiari, what are we to make of this knee injury? Now, we heard that he had another surgery this offseason. What do we make of this?
Anybody, pretty much anyone that ends up on the PUP list, you expect them to be back when you see it. You just don't know what's going to happen because it's such a wide variety. I mean, look at Elgton Jenkins, who's back less than 9 months after surgery. I mean, that's insane. You don't see that happen. And then David Bakhtiari, who did not have the same injury. Not all ACLs tear the same.
Yeah.
David Bakhtiari, there was meniscus damage. You know, the cartilage got affected. He's had multiple setbacks, maybe rushed back to the field a little early. And at this point, you expect David Bakhtiari back when you see him. Now, he has been doing in rehab a lot of the same stuff that Elgton Jenkins have been doing, which might indicate that he's in the final stages of rehab. But that's the word, might. Well, we really don't know. And until you see David Bakhtiari back on the field, that he's kind of out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah, Woody, Leroy Butler. I was going to get into Dennis Allen and his group that were coming in this week. I know they exchanged scripts. These two coaches know each other, but I'm just concerned about fights. I'm concerned about not getting the proper work that you need. Is there anything about the joint practice that you like and any that you don't like?
Well, the benefit, you know, coaches say that this is more useful than preseason games because in preseason, everything on both sides of the ball is vanilla. It's all base. They're not showing you any real wrinkles or intricate looks. Mm-hmm. And you show that in these joint practices because it's not on film. So it's a much truer litmus test of where your team is because you're going against genuine schematics on the other side of the ball against someone else. And it's all fine and dandy until someone takes a cheap shot. And, you know, that happened in Matt LaFleur's very first year with the Houston Texans. One of their safeties, I forget his name, but put a cheap shot on Jay Sternberger, gave him a concussion. And he was yanked from the practice and did not practice the second day. And I'll never forget walking out the practice that day, talking with someone at the Packers, said, Bill O'Brien made that decision for the betterment of the practice, for both sides. Because if he would have been out there, all hell would have broken loose. So it's all fine and dandy until someone takes a cheap shot, till there's a young guy that wants to make a name for himself and goes over the line, and then all hell can break loose. So Matt LaFleur said that he's stressed with his team, that you show toughness, you be tough, snap to whistle, not after the whistle. And that's the expectation. We'll see, though, because in joint practices, all best plans can change.
I'm with Ryan Wood of the Green Bay Press Gazette here on the Wendy's Big Show with Gary Ellerson and the Pro Football Hall of Famer, Leroy Butler. This wide receiver position is interesting. Gutekunst came out, I think it was last week, and said, look, we're not necessarily tied to so many players at each position anymore, that the best guys are going to make this team. Do we believe this? Does that mean we might end up with seven wide receivers? Because that position is intriguing. If we believe Amari Rodgers is guaranteed a spot, and if we believe Sammy Watkins is guaranteed a spot, and then you figure Watson and Dobbs are definitely on the team, guys like Toure and Danny Davis and some of these other guys, just how deep do you think they're willing to go at that position?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's what every general manager wants is to get the best 53 at regardless position. You know, what's really interesting is having Elgton Jenkins and Robert Tonyan and Christian Watson, who we knew of the three, he was likely to be back because his injury was a lot less severe. But having those three guys back off PUP now means that whether they're ready to go week one or not, I think they will be. It's a month out. But whether they're ready to go week one or not, they're making the 53. Mm-hmm. And so those are three spots now that you can't, you know, if you put a guy on PUP, shut him down for the first 4 weeks, you can save a roster spot in final cutdowns. Those are three spots that someone's going to get cut who would have made the team otherwise. So cuts got a lot more difficult for Brian Gutekunst yesterday. And it's for the betterment of the team. If you're a GM, you want cuts to be as hard as possible. That means you have a good roster. So you look at receiver, you look at another body on offensive line, you look at another body on tight end. There's, you know, players down the depth chart at those positions that might have made the team that are now not going to make the team because those guys are back. So yeah, it'll be fascinating to see how that plays out on cutdown day.
What's your thoughts defensively? Although there were a lot of guys missing, how well do you think they play?
He showed that there's lack of depth in certain areas and maybe some depth in other areas. The two big takeaways, the defensive line has depth, and we knew that. When guys like Chris Slayton and Jack Heflin are getting off the ball and they're not in your top six defensive line rotation, I mean, that's a really strong, deep group. We thought coming into camp that the defensive line was going to be as deep as it's been in years, maybe over a decade. It's looked like that so far. And then just the opposite on the back end. There's a lack of depth in the secondary that you saw. The two touchdowns that Trey Lance got, you know, that's against guy. You know, Rico Gafford has had a solid camp, and all you need to know about his chances making the 53, he was the first kick returner on Friday night, but he struggled in San Francisco. He's going to have to come back from that. Dalen Levitt, he, you know, came back and made a play after getting torched on 3rd and 9 for a 76-yard touchdown, which you can never get torched on 3rd and 9 deep, and he gives up almost an 80-yard score. He came back and made a play and then separated his shoulder. And we, you know, Matt LaFleur said he'll be out for a while. So that was a guy who kind of struggled but came back and made a play and was, you know, going to be a core special teamer, a guy on the 53, and now we don't know how long he's going to be out. So a weakness is secondary depth. You know, behind those top five, Adrian Amos, Darnell Savage, Rasul Douglas, Jair Alexander, Eric Stokes, fourth corner and third safety is a big question mark, and I think you saw that.
Hey, we got about a minute, but someone squeeze in both kickers. They just signed a new kicker. Is the return game going to be okay? Amari Rodgers, I'm hoping that he can win that job. But I don't know who they're going to put back there. But punting was okay. Do you think they're going to be okay with these guys, or do you think they're still looking at the waiver wire, maybe bringing in another kicker, maybe next week?
Well, we know Brian Gutekunst has been looking at the waiver wire because, I mean, he's never made this many moves on specialists. It's been one after another. I think it's going to be a work in progress on special teams. I don't think you're going to see massive improvement overnight. I think that they will get better. I mean, I think that Rich Bisaccia's reputation speaks for itself, but this is a unit that was in shambles. You cannot overstate how bad special teams was a year ago. And it's hard to take something from the depths of that, just how putrid it was, to make it respectable and even elite overnight. It's going to be a process, but I think that they've got the right man shepherding and steering that process.
He is Ryan Wood of the Green Bay Press Gazette. Follow him on Twitter at @ByRyanWood. Ryan, thanks so much for coming on, man. Appreciate it.
All right, take care.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.